Starting with Psalm 113, found in your pew books on page 953. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all nations, his glory above the heavens, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. Then we will continue in the book of Timothy, found on page 1846. And Timothy writes, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. And then we continue in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1625. This is the parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager says to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of oil. The master told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with very much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
At this point, I will turn the pulpit over to our pastor for our message for the day, Reverend Joe.
Let's open with prayer. Gracious Father, we do thank you for the opportunity once again to be in your house, to be in this place and know that your love is here with us. Guide us in your will today. Guide us so that we might have a better understanding of what you would have us to do in our lives. For we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many read the sermon already? We did have a few hands here. Well, the rest of you, this will all be new. If not, I may stray from the facts of what you read earlier. When I looked at this and I got reading it, going over it again this morning, I really got looking at the Psalms 113, and I really want to point out a few things here when we look at it. When the psalmist writes this, he writes, "Praise the Lord, praise all the servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord." A lot of praising, isn't it? Do we praise God enough? I don't really think we do. I think we need to figure out that we need to praise God. That's why we come here, isn't it? Is to praise and honor him. Of course, then he tells us that we also need to pray for him. He has a question. He says, so who is like our God? Well, isn't our God, he's the one and only God, isn't it? So he tells us, who is like him? Our God who sits on the throne on high. He stoops down and he looks on the heavens and the earth. Think about that. We have a God that stoops down and looks on us from heaven and earth. When he looks down on us, what's he seeing? What's the point of all of it when he looks down? He's waiting for us to pray to him, isn't he? So if we start by praising him, then we go into prayer. Because what he also said, he said, so he raises the poor from the dust and he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, of their people, and he settles a barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. He's telling us we really need to praise the Lord. As I thought about this when I first read that scripture when I started getting ready for this week, the more I looked at it, the more I got to thinking about. There's three things we need to really take care of in our lives, isn't there? Just, who are we going to praise? Who are we going to praise, ultimately, if we don't praise God? I mean, we see all kinds of people praising one another now, don't we? I like that you do such a good job. Margie, you did a wonderful job. You do such good work, you and Jim, on the bulletin every week, on preparing things in his house. We like to praise one another, so what does that do for us? It makes us feel better, doesn't it? Well, we were made in the image of God. Maybe we should be praising God for all how we do it, isn't it? Think about it. How do we do? How do we praise him? Do we praise him and ask for prayer? So we ask him, I'm going to praise you, so now you're going to do good things for me, huh? Is that why we praise him? That's why I thought the teaching of the shrewd manager was so relevant. I mean, for the last 2,000 years, everybody's been trying to figure out how we're supposed to deal with this, because what did he do? He commended the shrewd manager for his actions, didn't he? Doesn't that seem just a little strange? Shrewd manager, he was a terrible manager. He was going to cheat his manager out of everything, and he actually did. He wanted to praise God. He wanted to praise himself. He wanted to praise the people so that when he lost his job, hopefully if he didn't get thrown in prison from it, he'd have some place to go, somebody to rely on. I mean, this guy's ethics, they were all out of whack, weren't they? But his sense of survival, that was kicked right in full speed.
And I thought about this, and I'm thinking, you know, how do we really see this? We can't imagine somebody sitting down, okay, I'm managing money, and I'm going to go, you're going to fire me? Well, before that last day, guess what? I'm going to go and see everybody that owes you money. I'm going to tell them to cut their bill in half. Wouldn't they all be happy? Praise God, they would be, wouldn't they? They're gonna think good things about you. Maybe they'll take you in. Jesus is trying to recognize this shrewd manager as somebody we ought to applaud that he actually took initiative. Too many times we sit in our seats and we don't want to do anything, do we? Or we come to church and figure God's going to solve all our problems. I got thinking about the story and I thought about this young man from Montana. He was wanted to buy a horse. So this fellow had a horse online. He says, I'll sell you this horse for $100. So the guy from Montana, he says, great, I'll buy it. So he pays, he sends him the money, he goes to pick up the horse, and he gets there, and this guy says, well, I got bad news for you. The horse died. It's good. The guy from Montana says, well, how about give me my money back? Well, I can't do that, said the man who was selling the horse. He says, because I spent it already. So the young man from Montana, he thinks about it a while, and then he thinks, well, I want the dead horse anyway. Well, the guy from Montana says, what in the world are you going to do with a dead horse? He says, well, I'm going to raffle him off. He says, what do you mean? You can't raffle off a dead horse? He says, well, sure I can. He said, okay, so he gives him the dead horse, and this guy from Montana, he hauls this dead horse back to his place. And sure enough, a few months later, he sees the guy who's holding the dead horse. He says, that guy, he says, what happened with the dead horse? He says, well, I raffled him off. I sold 500 tickets at $2 each. I made a profit of $998. The guy says, well, what'd they do when they found out the horse was dead? He says, well, the only guy who complained was the guy who won. I gave him his $2 back. And he was happy. Shrewd managing. Isn't that what God calls us to do, to be shrewd managers in all that we do? I lost my Bible. Holy crow. I thought about that. The more I thought about that and how we get lax in the church, sometimes we don't come up with new ideas. We don't manage the things we ought to manage them. And why don't we do that? Why don't we take the chances we need to take sometimes? Really, that's because we have fear in our lives, don't we? We're afraid of what other people will think. Or that we're afraid of the consequences afterwards if we don't tell somebody about Christ because they're going to think bad of me, or I'll never see them again, or they'll walk away. And it really becomes our responsibility to take those chances, doesn't it? Well, otherwise, we just let fear take hold of our lives. Think about it this way. How many of we need to work at it, really? Think about it. When's the last time you heard the phrase, how do I want to put this? Have you ever heard when somebody said to another person, he works like the devil? Better yet, I mean, many times I've heard, oh, he worked like the Dickens. That really is saying he worked like the devil. Dickens is another word for devil. Think about it that way. The devil's out to do anything he can to get his will to be done in this world, to destroy us, to destroy what Christ has done for us. Think about it that way. When you take on God's work and his will in his life. Do you work like the Dickens? Are you a shrewd manager? Are you willing to take those chances? You realize most people, when they come to church, they come out of fear because they have a problem in their life. They want God to solve it for them. So they come to church. They're willing to praise him. They praise him. And they pray for him, for God to do something, and then they wait, right? They wait, and they wait, and they wait some more. And what happens? They don't understand that God's doing the same thing. He's waiting and waiting and waiting for them to help themselves. Too often we forget to do for ourselves. We don't go to work. We're afraid of the consequences. We don't want to be like the shrewd manager and make sure that in this next life, somebody's going to prepare a place for us. So Jesus said something interesting in this parable, and I really want to read it to you. He says, "The people of this world," said Jesus, "are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light." You know, Jesus, he understood how the real world operates. And sometimes when we look at how the real world operates, we see all the scoundrels of the world really winning out, aren't they? It seems like it. Well, maybe we should be scoundrels ourselves in how we present the gospel. Maybe we needed to do it in a new way, in a new light, so that others might know the truth. That's what God wants us to do. That's the lesson he's teaching to us through this shrewd manager. Let me tell you another story. Quick story. So this guy, he goes to this old deserted island. Think it's just deserted, but comes to find out there's all kinds of people living there. And when he gets there, he gets welcomed by all these people that are living there. Actually, he can't hardly believe it. They make him their king. Well, he's delighted, and they're given to everything a heart can desire. They do for him. They'll give to him. They obey him. And he's having a wonderful time until he learns actually their language and learns how to communicate with them real good. And often, once he communicates that, he finds out that they have this whole thing that they go by. So once a year, they choose someone, usually a visitor, who would come, and they make him king. Well, the guy isn't so happy now. He takes a lesson from the shrewd manager. He says, "Okay, they made me king." He finds out the consequences of being king was they would then take that man and sacrifice him by sending him to a deserted island to live alone the rest of his days. He thinks about it. He says, "All right, so I'm king. I'm going to take care of this before anything happens to me." So what does he do? He sends a bunch of them over to this deserted island that they're going to send him to. He has them clear it. He has them build a beautiful home. Then he has some of his friends move in and to wait on him, wait for him to show up. So when his year is up, his reign as king is over, they ship him off to this island, and what's he find? He finds people there that have been waiting on him, waiting for him to show up. Isn't that what Jesus is teaching us here? If we go to work for God, if we praise him, if we pray for him, and we do go to work for him, and we do it shrewdly, won't people love us? Won't they be willing to take care of us, won't they come to the saving grace of Christ so that when we arrive in heaven, they'll be waiting for us? Shrewd managers is what we need to be. There's an old saying, many of you will recognize it. Ben Franklin, he wrote in Poor Richard's Almanac, he said, God helps those who help themselves. That's not always true. But what we do know is God helps those who praise his name, that pray to him, and that go to work. And sometimes the work he calls us to is different. Sometimes we need to be like a scoundrel ourselves, be that shrewd manager. We need to manage our time and our lives so that others might come to know Christ. God wants us to be able to come to somebody and say, yeah, I know you've done wrong all your life, but if I help you come to God, we can cut your bill in two. Actually, we can alleviate your bill. You won't owe anything for it. Can you imagine that? That's what God does for us. That's what he wants us to do. That's the work he wants us to do. Tell people, you don't owe a cent. All you need to do is come to him, to praise him, pray to him, to honor him, to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what he came for. He died on the cross and gave his life so we might have life. There's no strings attached, no bill of sale. He died for us so we might have life. So we should be praising him. And we should pray to him and honor him and go to work for him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you gave yourself for us. Help us to know that we should be praising you, that we should pray to you, and we should definitely work shrewdly as we must so that others may come to know your saving grace, so others may know that they have a place for them in this eternal life. Amen.